Yellow, yellow.
Hello,
John. What it do? Craig David.
Will I see you this week?
I'm not here, baby.
But you're not gonna put the camera on?
And do my hair.
You're doing your hair.
I said I didn't do my hair.
Don't you have hats?
Actually, I do have a hat on.
Yeah. So, all right, and Mr. Baker Bone has is in the the room, the waiting room. Let me get him in. Wait, before we do that, Camilo, did you see the Oscars?
Yeah, I saw the Oscars. What a
Yes.
snooze fest. But hey, it was cool. My Asian peoples. Shout out the Asians.
Yeah, kind of upset that Judd Hirsch lost.
Yeah, you know what? Nah, I think I was cool with it. I was cool with it. I kind of did think he deserved it, but you know what? They kept it. The fact that they kept it like Everything Everywhere All at Once had like a little run. I like that better. So it was good. Got the Michelle, got the K Kwan Hill. I forgot how to say his name. But you know, and then they had Indiana Jones come out and it was nice. It was nice, but it was still boring as hell.
Mr. Baker Bone, are you there?
Yes, I am. You need
Right.
video?
Yeah, it would be nice. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
Camilo's making it the second time this week where we can't see him for some reason.
Okay.
And but oh, now you're here. That's
Yeah.
good.
You're calling me out, dog.
Well, yeah, and now he's back. We now can't see, and now he's but we see him again. So thank you for taking part in this. This is of course the continued adventures of Krizzle and Camilo, aka Whip Wop Galore, aka Do You Wash Your Ass? I am, yeah, last week's episode too. But I'm Craig Lindsay, of course, on the other end. This is back here from in Houston is my co-anchor, Camilo Smith. We try to get people on this, whatever we do, to talk and whatever. And on today's show, we got a comedian I've admired from afar for a very long time. He's been a guest host on Medium Popcorn, which is one of my favorite podcasts. He also does Drunk Black History with Brandon Collins.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you got other. You have a comedy album out. Nobody, Just Me.
Yep.
That's one of my favorites. I listen to that often. He's up there in New York. Is it New York?
Yes, it is. I'm well, I work in New York. I live in Jersey. Born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. I can't find a reason to live. So
yeah. By the way, you just said the secret word, Gordon.
Hey,
Gordon
if I told you. If I told you, South 18th Street in Springfield Ave,
I know exactly.
Would you know where I used to be?
Yes.
So my grandmother used to live there. I spent a lot. Of, I'm from Linden, but I spent a lot of time. I
okay.
went to St. Benedict's.
Oh, you went to St. Benedict's?
I did.
Oh, all right.
So we must know people.
Yeah.
So it is.
Yeah, man. All right. I went to, I don't even know if you know it, right up the block, it was a Catholic school called Queen of Angels.
All my aunts went there. What part of Newark are you from?
I grew up in the South Ward. in Little Bricks. And then we lived over on
Okay.
Carolina Ave up in off 18th Ave, up in Newark towards the Vellsburg section. And then like my 8th grade year, my mom and my dad got a house and they moved us to Maplewood, so I didn't get to go to school in Newark. I was trying to get accepted to Arts High School. I got accepted to a whole bunch of different schools around there, but they wanted me to go to Columbia where I went.
All right, you went to Lauryn Hill School. Yeah,
Yep.
that's what's up, man. Queen of Angels. All my aunts went there. Aunts and uncles.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm so happy to be on, man. Thank y'all for having me, man.
Yeah,
Well,
no doubt. All right,
well,
we had that little part. Craig knew that was coming.
this is Gordon Baker Bone. He's a comedian, and I was trying to get like a panel thing going. I hit up Jason Zinnemann at the Times to just come in, but he's got COVID.
Ooh.
And I tried to get another comedian, a female comedian, and I haven't heard from her.
Okay.
So I'm glad you have showed up. You've shown
Oh yeah,
up
man.
and just hit up this, because I wanted to talk just about the current state of stand up, if there is such a thing.
I feel like that's the most common question that everybody asks. What's the current state of stand-up comedy? And it's so, for me, it's weird because I started about 15 years ago doing stand-up comedy. So I started when comedy started hitting the internet. So I think that's what people are, what comedians are adjusting to is the internet, because a lot of comedians never heard the crowd say something back. It was always a one-directional conversation, unless you got to deal with a heckler. And now everyone has a voice. And I know a lot of comics, a lot of older comics, aren't used to it. They didn't grow up that, they didn't come up that way, so they have a little bit of pushback on it.
Well, years ago, I used to write for this free this all weekly up in Raleigh, and I kind of took it upon myself to write a lot about comedians, write a lot of interview a lot of comedians, and it was a cool time because I talked to a whole cross a whole lot of comedians, Stephen Wright and Anthony Jeselnik and interviewed Carol Burnett once and everything. So yeah, it was, but the thing about it was that I would talk to these comedians and I would just talk to them about their craft and how they come material and just how what they have going so far. Just engage with them about just how they are as comedians. And I feel that over the years, and maybe this is just me, that it's just like it's kind of gotten harder to for people in the media like myself to interview comedians and get them to talk about things, because I feel like I've gotten some that have been defensive. I feel that I've tried to get in interviews with some and they're not. And they turn me down and everything. And I'm getting this sense that comedians are feeling apprehensive to talking.
I would totally
Getting
agree
stuff.
with you. There are some comedians. I don't want to speak as if we're all a monolith, but like there are comics out there that will talk to you. There are comics that are terrified of what they call like the Twitter sphere or interviewers that are going to write bad pieces on their comedy, and like yeah, like bad reviews. Kind of it, well, no, kind of it hurts our business. And like anything else, like we like a Yelp review, like the one thing I never understood about comics and like fearing people's reviews or have being interviewed is like they'll go back and read it and they'll dwell on it. And maybe that's a good way, maybe that's cathartic to help them process it and get better, but like they really dwell on it. So like anybody that's kind of like, because like I'm open to be interviewed. I like I don't
You're here
watch
to
my mouth,
obviously.
but also I'm mindful of what I say. Because like I always have a philosophy is like I joke about whatever I know. I joke about whatever I know, but I also joke in a way that I can always go back home. Because I don't ever want to feel like I'm gonna say something that's so wild that like I go back to my city or go back to my family and they go like, "What the fuck you mean by that?" So I keep it honest, I keep it true, and I keep it fun. And I think a lot of comics get to a point where they take themselves too serious, and it kind of dilutes the funny, in my opinion.
Yeah, but it's, but thing about it is, like, I do understand where they why they would be apprehensive. I mean, just this, I you know, because ever since it became a thing where, as you said, like, stand-up comics can be Yelp reviewed, or their humor, or what they do on stage, can be thrown out there online out of context. And it is, I would imagine it would be scary for people to say something, especially in a comedy club. People still forget, like, when people are performing comedy clubs, especially if it's just like trying to do something, some material, it's like, it's basically like a workshop in a way, just like to see if the humor if will play to an audience. And if it doesn't, well, that, then you'll never see that joke again. But Pete, there have been, ever since Tracy Morgan, did the whole rant about if your kid gay and I would come to the house with a with a knife or whatever. So yeah, so like, yeah, Pete, comics have been very apprehensive in the same,
I wish more people came out to comedy clubs so they could understand the environment that we are. And I hate to say it like a like I'm a Jane Goodall. Like you gotta come see comics in their natural environment. You gotta come see us in a comedy club. You gotta come see us just not on our phones. Like the reason why we put content on TikTok, on Twitter, on all this stuff is to drag you out to see us in a live performance. Because when you see us in a club, it's something totally different. Like the those recordings, my album, I had fun doing it, but me in person, me getting to interact with people is a totally different thing. And I'm learning now that a lot of I think a lot of comics are learning this also is that people are opting not to go to comedy clubs, but they still want to watch the material online without context. Sometimes it's edited, you're getting 30 seconds of a clip that was an hour long. You know what I mean? So me and that crowd has a rapport and you're just peeking in. You don't know anything that took place beforehand. You just know this happened and you're making your judgment on a 30-second clip. And look, it's not that I'm complaining about it, but I just think that people should see both sides of it. Watch us online. If you don't like it, say what you guys say, keep it moving, but also give it a shot. Go see it live.
Remember, I like going back to the All Weekly that I used to write. I actually did a review of a show once. It was Todd Barry and Neil Hamburger.
Ooh.
And I think Brandon Walsh was the opener. And like the whole review was just about how impossible it is to review a comedy show, and
Thank you.
especially with those guys,
Yeah.
because Todd Barry doesn't, is legendary for not really having an act, and then you got Neil Hamburger, just everything he says is just wrong, and you just like you have to be in that environment, and you really, it's like a true indication of, in order to appreciate stand-up comedy, you really have to be in the moment, you have to be mindful, and
Gotta be in.
just like just be like, it's just a whole bubble that you have to be in the middle of in order to fully get what anybody's saying.
My favorite thing about the comedy club is it is a shared inside joke with a bunch of people. And it's, I always laugh at it because I know people from the show are going to go to work, go home, and try to explain the experience that they saw, and it's going to fall flat. And people are just going to stare at them like, what? What happened? Why did you find that funny? And like, you're literally going to have to go, you got to see this person. You
Yeah.
got to see the person because I know you won't be able to do my material. You won't be able to explain the experience the right way until you come see me in person. And that's like that is the magic behind it. And I wish more people got a chance to see it. You know what I mean? I know there's not a lot of comedy clubs. Comedy clubs are by far the cheapest business. This is anybody out there that wants to start a business, that wants to make some quick money, open a comedy club. I promise you, you'll get hordes of people running to you. Not only just comedians, people that just want to be out, people that just want to bob booze. Like, I'm telling you, microphone, stage, lights, bathroom, you in business. People
Hey,
run.
the pandemic basically turned a lot of people's backyards or whatever. Like, you can basically do shit outside now.
Oh my God. I was about to take some of my Trump bucks and rent out a cabin in the Poconos and do comedy shows with me and my friends up there, just because like I was losing my mind. I was like, as a comedian, I don't know how you guys fared. They tried to convert us into Zoom comedians, which is I was talking about this with a bunch of other comics last night. It was draining. Like, we got paid decent money to do Zoom shows, but it's just like, it just wasn't the same. And we tried our best. And I'm so happy that we're back. I was first in line to get a vaccine because I was like, I got to go back to work. There's no way I can survive without getting up on stage. I was in parks. I was on roofs. I was on roofs in New York in the winter. Like, I bought a coat specifically so I could just be on Tiny Cupboard's rooftop show. Like, an L train going by. You could hear the train in the background. And like, we're up there trying our best. And it's like, that's one thing about comedy that I think people will never understand, how much it is unique, fun, and how much I believe you would have appreciated more if you came in person. Because even if you don't like it, it's still gonna be funny.
Well, this this also slides into, you was talking earlier, but about how, we're talking about how things can be taken out of context and just jokes out there, just being seen, and people just seeing it, just not really getting the context of it. And just make me think about what happened the last couple of weeks with the Chris Rock special. Yeah, did you see that?
Yes, I did. I'm not like a lot of comics. I watch everyone's special. A lot of comics don't like watching specials or other people's sets, whether in person or online or wherever you could watch people's sets. But I love my craft and I love seeing what everyone else is doing. So I did see Chris Rock's special. I saw him work that material out before in Brooklyn, so I knew some of those jokes already. It was interesting to see how people reacted to Chris Rock, because I think a lot of people was expecting a young, late 20s, early 30s Chris Rock at Apollo with those same type of views. He's older. He's a dad. He's a multi-millionaire. He had multiple successful shows. Why would he still have the same viewpoints? He's a different person now. And I think a lot of people that grew with Chris Rock appreciated it. I think a lot of people that was their first intro to Chris Rock and never watched his old specials. Oh yeah, I can see why they would be upset. I don't think a 20-year-old would watch that special up until the last 10 minutes and be like, oh, I like this. Because he.
What is interesting, because a lot of people are saying that he didn't change. It's more like he's still doing talk about the same stuff, but now that he's, as you say, multimillionaire and older and everything, he's just stuck in his ways, and that a lot of people saw it like that.
Okay. Yeah, that is another way of saying it. I don't view it that way. I just think that I think he's a different comic than he once was. Some people might see that he's like still the same way. Maybe I need to go back and watch some of his old specials again and get refreshed on who he was on stage and what he talked about in his content. But I just see a mature, older comic. And like that's the thing a lot of us are getting mad at. Like it's the comics that we grew up with that everyone on the internet, well, I shouldn't say everyone on the internet, people are being offended by, or I don't even want to say offended. They're just not liking it, or they're just not feeling it anymore. And like another thing too, you gotta realize you ain't that same person you were when you first watched it. You learned a lot of stuff over the past 10 years. You changed your whole vocabulary in the past 6 months, and you like you're expecting them to still wow you, and I think that's it's like being a kid and someone makes you a balloon animal at six, and now that you're 22, someone makes you that same balloon animal, you're not gonna be as thrilled. It's impressive, but you're like, ah, I've seen it before.
The responses that I saw just were really out there. It's been, I literally have a friend who does another podcast who said that he saw the special. Now he didn't think it was funny. He thought Chris Rock was a coon, and it's like it's so crazy just the going just how when because the whole thing is just he gets slapped at the Oscars. He does stand ups. He does a special. A lot of people don't think it's funny, and now he's a coon. And I'm just like, how the hell did we get to that point where it's just like, just you find a person not funny to the point where they think they're a sellout. And just I really do feel that Chris Rock getting slapped at the Oscars and then just doing stand up, and now people think he's a sellout. This is we're literally watching a supervillain origin story, and nobody's picked up on it.
It's so funny because every time I hear that, I'm like, he had a whole TV series called Everybody Hates Chris. And y'all just now realizing y'all didn't like Chris Rock? Like, where have y'all been? And the same person that y'all hated, y'all loved his movie Pootie Tang, which was written by Louis C.K. And like, it's so crazy because I've seen clips where it's like, oh, Chris Rock didn't stop Louis from saying the word nigga. And I'm like, oh man. Not excusing it, because like Louis is a Me I think he's Spanish or Mexican, and he's white passing.
He
And
people don't even know that about him. He's like he has, in him. It's like.
he like, yes. To the untrained eye, he is, or know nothing about him. He is just a white guy. And he walks among us as a white guy. He's a day walker. So that whole thing and their relationship and the way Chris Rock is, and like especially coming up in the New York scene, you see comics that are like that. And I personally don't fuck with it like that, but it's no surprise to me. And I think that's my big takeaway from it, and seeing everyone calling him a coon and things like that. I'm just like, where y'all been? This ain't nothing new. Like, again, I'm not wowed by it, and I know people wanted to hear what he had to say after the slap, and it's amazing that it took a slap for us to take another look at Chris Rock. I just, I don't know. Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, I feel like I'm too close to the stage, or like, well, I'm on the stage and I'm around the industry and I know all these things. I'm just like, where y'all been? And then I'm like, oh yeah, y'all not in here like that. So
And don't they call him a sellout because he was dating a white woman? Is that why? Or was it
who?
was did it have Chris Rock, or did it have to do with the content of his special?
I think it's a combination of both. It's first off, it's Chris Rock making fun of, this is what I'm hearing from everybody. They were upset that he made fun of a black woman's hair after making a documentary about black women's hair.
Apparently, that doesn't matter anymore. He did it, but it's like doesn't matter. It's like
he like it's so many different layered things. And I don't think I've have I seen Chris Rock with a white woman? I'm not gonna say he probably hasn't, but it
now, if you look up, the only reason why I know is because when I Googled something about his date, well, no, I Googled him and then somebody's dating and it automatically pops up some woman who's a director and actress. I guess they just broke up, but she was like, she was something of a hot shot director. But anyways, the internet, so people were looking that up. Wait, say again?
Did she break up with him because of the slap? Was that Damn,
actually,
I don't know.
I know you're referring to she was dating him after the slap, so
Okay. Yeah.
yeah, so but if, but it's but yeah, it's just it's what also he was talking the I when I started watching the special, I the minute he started talking about woke cult. Wokeness and cancel culture and being triggered, and I'm just like, oh shit, people are gonna. That's the immediate thing people are gonna latch on to about.
Yeah, like I found it that was his end game. When he started talking about being woke and triggered and being all these different hot button words right now, I already knew that he was going to relate that back to Will. Like that was all just set up to get to why he felt he got slapped and to give it a proper explanation. So it was like Netflix, they set it up right. They knew exactly what they were doing, which is so wild. Netflix cashed in on both Will Smith films and Chris Rock getting slapped and turned it into more streams and more money. Like they made it a live event, like it was the Super Bowl, bro.
Yeah, like
Like
a pre and po like a pre-show, a
and a
post
post.
discussion, like it's
I don't think we've ever had a comedy situation like, whether you like it or not, that position, that whole night was, as a comedian, beautiful because like I've never seen a comedy show have a pre-show like that. I've never seen a comedy show have a post-show where people are instantly talking and debating about the show, the comedy show they just saw, and I kind of again, that's another, another feeling of like being actually in a comedy club. Because in comedy clubs, comics will fuck up their jokes and have to push through. Like it'd have been crazy if he started riffing with people in the crowd, but he stayed on cue, he stayed on point, and he got the night done, which was in theory was dope. But I feel like a lot of people just tuned in just for those last 10 minutes. That was the big selling point. They just wanted to hear him talk about Will Smith and Jada. Where and on the other note, Marlon Wayans made a whole entire 60-minute special about the three of them. Did you
Well,
see? Did
that's the other thing, because people are saying, especially I read, read the I saw the special, and I actually
yeah.
thought that it was his best one. It's just like it actually felt like he wrote a lot of like he wrote a whole hour of stuff and set it up in a way where it wasn't just him just running around doing,
You
picking
want to
up.
know, in my opinion, why it was his best one? He got personal. He got extremely, extremely personal and open about his feelings about all three of them. He talked about having issues with Chris Rock, having issues with Will Smith's career and why he wasn't getting work, his infatuation slash relationship with Jada. All those are super personal things that he's exposing on stage, and he made it funny at the same time, which I think makes for a great comedy show. Like, yeah, my first album, I wasn't as personal as I wanted to be, and the second one, I feel like my second album, which I'm working on now, I'm actually doing more of that, where I'm talking more about just like myself and like my personal life more than anything else in joke form. So yeah, that's the reason why I vibe with it and thought it was his best special, and I hope he keeps it up.
Yeah, it was great. Special. Have you seen it, Camille?
I didn't see that one. That's Marlon Wayans doing
Yep.
stand-up.
It's on HBO Max. I
Okay.
highly suggest everyone. Honestly, yeah, I suggest you watch Chris Rock's, then Marlon Wayans, in that
Okay.
order.
Well, that's the thing now, because people are comparing the specials. They're saying that I read a piece on OK Player, just like, oh, Marlon delved deeper than Chris did and everything. And it's just like,
He's got more to prove, right?
Who?
Marlon Wayans.
Marlon
He...
Wayans has way more to prove. And also, Marlon Wayans, the reason why I think Marlon Wayans special more people will like is because Marlon Wayans can deal with what happened at the Oscars from the same seat that we were in. He saw it the same way that we saw it, but he
Yeah.
had a personal connection to it. Like, the best part about like hosting a comedy show is like you're a member of the audience that gets to get the microphone. So if the crowd thought something stunk, you can go up there and you can be like, yo, that was bad, right, y'all? And like agreed, the crowd like, yes, finally, there's a mouthpiece for me. And I feel like Marlon Wayans' special was that, a mouthpiece for people that saw it from the fourth wall.
Yeah.
So it was just it's what made it funnier and made it more palatable for people.
Yeah,
My
in movie terms, he is what is referred to as an audience surrogate, like somebody in the action, but he's kind of representing the audience.
Yep.
And just that dude he's 50, right? He's 50. Like, how
Yeah.
does he have all that guy? First of all, how can he still move like that all over the goddamn place,
Bro,
like
you
humping
stretch though.
stools and all that shit, and
You gotta
just
stretch every day. You gotta
yeah.
stretch at
Yeah.
least get you. Like I'm starting to do like by every year. I'm not Muslim, but I fast every Ramadan. For my cousins, I do it out of solidarity with them, and also I dated a ton of Muslim women, so I got used to it. So I fast and like I promise you, walking, eating a little bit better. You can still eat whatever you want, but the most pivotal thing is the stretch. Wake up in the morning, just stretch your body out, touch your toes, knees. Cross your body. Just get those muscles moving and you'll be able to do a lot more.
And let
'Cause
me
my
ask, what's your, sorry to cut you off there, but you talk about the eating. What's your favorite halal chicken spot
Ooh, that's
in
so many.
Newark?
I go so many different places. Halal chicken spot. I've been lazy and going to Halal Guys a lot recently because I've been going to New York a lot. Like, no, not like the chain stores. The actual carts. I don't like if I for some reason people are like, why do you still do that? They got stores now. No. I need to see pigeons next to the cart, waiting for something to fall so they can eat it. I need that is my favorite halal food. There's a bunch. What else do I eat? Ishkabibble. I go there. Dang. I can't think. McMoon's. There we go. I've been eating a lot in New York a lot recently. And like it used to be a halal spot, but they turned into a burger joint now. They come to comedy shows and they really support. It's this spot in Newark now called The Yard, makes one of the best burgers out there. They originally were doing halal and then they kind of converted it to stay with the times of Newark because Newark is changing. I don't know if you noticed or not. Newark is changing fast and rapidly. We got a Whole Foods down here now and it's insane. But
Yeah, I've been to that one.
yeah. So it's oh what I was saying. Oh yeah, just eating better. And that's how you guys stay with the energy stuff. 'Cause like working with like all these comics that like been on TV, they are health nuts. That's the crazy thing about comics now is everybody's like so healthy. Don't eat after 10 o'clock. Only do vodka tonics, nothing with a lot of sugars. And it's so wild, but
Is that how they say it? Is like, don't
yeah,
have like sugars, this shit?
no sugars in it. I don't want anything with sugars.
Sugar.
Tequila's, ugh, that agave is not good for you. I'm like, oh God, I'm just here fucked up.
Obviously, you don't hang around with a lot of Houstonians or Texans, because I've never seen so many people just consume tequila proudly.
Oh man, I gotta come down there some more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting for any of y'all to come down. You, Brandon, I like.
We
Hey,
trying
you
to
know what?
go for.
I was gonna tell a story of I saw a Jersey comedian out here one time, and I was at Craig, what's the place that's at the corner? There's a breakfast club, and then right behind it, I think they own it as well, but sometimes it's a nightclub or it's like
Alley
a small
Cat,
like
which I
alley
don't know.
cat.
Is that even open anymore? I don't, it's like I go down there all the time. I never see it open, so.
So I was in there, and then lo and behold, out of nowhere, I wasn't expecting it, Bill Bellamy comes in.
Ooh.
And the thing that happened after he came through the door was like a tidal, and it's not even, I'm not even making this up. It was like a literal tidal wave of all the women in the bar in that
Yeah.
area just
Yeah.
like encircled him. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I've never seen that happen to somebody before. Like he got encircled by these women who just was
Bro.
just like, that's anyway. Yeah, you got any Bill Bellamy stories or really?
But like you know, it was wild. I lived down the street from Bill Bellamy's family in Maplewood.
Okay.
Brother Julian Bellamy, real cool dude. So like, I've always not only did I know his brother, I knew of him through all the Deltas from New Jersey. My mom's a Delta, and they would hire Bill Bellamy to do like their comedy night every single year. So like, I knew about his comedy before I knew about anybody else's. So
Wow, yeah.
it's just wild to see, and it's rewarding to see somebody from Jersey like Bill Bellamy reach the heights that he has reached. He got a new movie coming out with Wesley Snipes, I think. But he's a
Oh
stripper.
yeah, that's yeah. I keep seeing that trailer on YouTube where Wesley plays an old man, and
Yeah,
like
and
it's
he's
supposed.
training people how to be strippers in Vegas again. But like as far as like Bill Bellamy stories, I saw him once at Stress Factory in New Brunswick, and it literally his show is not only funny, but it feels like a date night. Like he's on a date with everybody in the room. Because at the end of the show, it wasn't even Valentine's Day. He just gave out roses to all the ladies in the crowd. And I'm just like, hey yo, what is this? I
Hey,
laughed.
that's what it is. Yeah.
Bill, as someone like who's followed Bill, I interviewed him a long time ago when he was coming down to North Carolina. But just like, I guess I remember like the first time I saw him on Apollo, and he was wearing the suit, and he had the flat top all permed up or whatever the hell, and then he goes on Def Jam, and that's of course where he takes off and goes on MTV. And of course we remember anybody who's an avid Def Jam watch remember he was the first comic, but then after Martin Martin came back out and says, I don't know why he's doing this, he's a damn model. This pretty motherfucker and everything, and just so that kind of like almost solidified that this is supposed to be he's the suave comedian. He's
Yeah.
the Big Daddy Kane of the Def comedy game. That whole there's a lot of people out there that don't even know him as a comedian. They just know him
As an actor.
well, not as an actor, but like he is his days of the MTV VJ and stuff,
Oh, yeah.
and they know about how to be a player. And that's mostly, and then of course his turn is the heavy, if you can call him that, in Love Jones. So
It's so wild that like you're bringing up Bill Bellamy and Def Comedy Jam because like from doing comedy, I didn't realize the way you got on Def Comedy Jam is that you had to do I can't remember the name of the club, but it was in East Orange, New Jersey,
yeah,
and
it
where
was like
everybody.
the ballroom. No, the Eldorado Ballroom is here, but no, the Peppermint Lounge, is it?
Peppermint
Peppermint.
Lounge. Peppermint Lounge. That's pretty good, Craig. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the Peppermint Lounge, and it just blew my mind that like I lived so close to where everybody auditioned to get on Def Comedy Jam. I thought like something like Def Comedy Jam, like you had to travel real far, and that's another reason why like I refused to move because I'm like, yo, like it's so much history here, and like industry's cracking around here, so it's just like, why would I ever leave such a great area with filled with so much history and just like dopeness?
When I was little, I used to watch Rascals used to have the Rascals Comedy Hour. Used to come on TV. Is Rascals still a place people go to?
Nah, what? Rascals closed down about a couple years ago. Like Jersey used to be known for its like comedy scene because it was so close to New York, and everybody couldn't go to New York. Or that's another thing too. Internet's kind of just like shifting people to new avenues of comedy clubs. So people just do like pop-ups here and there, which is more convenient too, but it's a great way to get people exposed to comedy. But like, yeah, no. Rascals closed down. We still have Stress Factory. We still got Bananas Comedy Club. Yeah, man, comedy clubs used to have the weirdest names.
It's all yuck yucks and hee hee.
Yeah.
All that bullshit.
Come see me at the Chuckle Hut. Like, all right, we get it, buddy. Stay on brand.
I'll be playing Laughs a Lot next week.
Oh, bro. With that being said, I'm about to be up in Boston next week. So what else you want to know?
You know CJ Cracks?
Yeah, I know CJ. That's the homie.
I thought that was the name of another club, but yeah, that's CJ.
We had Mo Black on.
Okay.
We used to do a radio program with CJ. But CJ went to Benedict's. He was a few years younger than me, but I know CJ from Benedict's.
Yeah. Oh man, y'all perform with CJ quite a bit.
Yeah, I figured. So it's like a little scene out there though, like specific to Newark though, right? Because that's kind of like where he was coming up.
It's so wild. The people forget that Jersey has a comedy scene. It gets so overlooked. The thing is, a lot of people from around the country, around the world, move to New York to do comedy. So the thought of doing comedy 10 miles out of the city, which is not even anything, they're like, that's far. And I'm like, you out of your mind. It's like, bro, I'm closer to Manhattan than most people that live in Brooklyn. People live in Coney Island talking about, I'm a New Yorker. No, you live in Coney Island, bro. Relax. Like, I get the prestige of it, but yeah, Jersey has a great, huge comedy scene that, like, I feel like it needs to get more of a name popping. Like, everybody knows comics from Chicago, Philly, Boston, the DC area. And, like, Jersey's always been one of those places that always gets overlooked because, for the most part, like, we work in Jersey, but we go to New York most of the time. So, like, just count us as New Yorkers.
Yeah.
Like, people counted me as a Brooklyn comic, and I'm from Newark, through and through. I got voted 50 best, 50 funniest people in Brooklyn. And, like, that was only because, like, I worked there every single night. Real convenient.
Yeah. And just, I just wanted to, you know, we talked earlier about just the internet and the role it plays for comedians now, especially comedians that come out of the internet, because I know there's like tension, friction, whatever you want to call it, of just comics that
I was gonna say it's a big tension between comics that that have more followers online, like these TikTok comedians, and because like, you see 30 seconds of a clip, you start following the person. They might have 4 or 5 clips that make you follow. And then they go, hey, I'm going to be somewhere. And then you get there. And then somebody that's been doing it like multiple years who don't have that TikTok following, who don't have like an Instagram reel that's out there that's popping, will come out there and bury them. Just be hilarious. And everybody like, yo, who the hell is that? And that's the dope thing. I think internet comedians and comedians that work live in clubs mostly and more should always work together. Use whoever on TikTok to drag out crowds and get them out here, get the bills paid, then bring in these vets to really hone it in and keep them coming back.
You're not the first person to say that, because I've heard, you know, Roy Wood Jr. talk about, you know, comedians that, you know, who've been doing it, you know, for a long time, and they hating on the internet comedians, especially those internet comedians that are taking the opportunity to go to the clubs and work on their stuff, even. Yeah, and so you find that happening? I mean, is it more the internet comedians just not feeling enough? The internet comedians not feeling the vets, or the vets not being, or is there like equal?
I feel like it's equal, because you also got to realize, like, if I'm somebody that posted a clip and it's got 1 million views and I got 500 people showed up to a Thursday night show and they're expecting to see me, and you come out and you crush, you're like, yo, fuck this dude. Your ego will get hurt regardless.
Yeah.
And it goes the other way too. You've been working 15 years at this. You barely get 50 people to come out to a show on a Thursday. But this dude put 30 seconds online. Yo, fuck this dude. But like, when in reality, y'all should just be sitting there like, yo, how can we make this a dope ass show so we can keep this going?
Mm-hmm.
That's like, yeah, it's so confusing, and it deals with like everything in the world, people's egos and insecurities. So you'll figure it out one day, one way or another. It just, like, it takes teamwork to make the dream work, man. That's all I can say. More cliches. That's it. Just know how to work the business together. That's it.
Hey, if there's anything Top Gun Maverick taught us, it's that, you know, the young and the old need to work together. That was like, that's like my favorite thing about like that movie. That is just like all this flying and shit. Like, oh no, you know, Tom Cruise is just saying, hey, we need some young kids to come in here,
yeah,
help us out and shit. There's nothing sadder than seeing old bitter ass comedians. It's just like, you know, there's something I can just go off. I know there's I don't know if you heard that whole thing with George Lopez going off on his podcast.
You know, the wild thing about it is George Lopez is such a sweetheart too. But like, I feel like he's a dude that came up in an era where comedy hazing was not only expected, it was rewarded to comics that hazed other comics. Because they were like, oh, they would get young comics go, thank you for doing that to me because it helped me. I'm like, nah, you ain't got to go through all that bullshit. And now he's trying to do that to other people, and it's kind of backfiring on him. And like, he's like, honestly, I drank with George Lopez, one of the nicest dudes I think I've ever met. And I heard what he said about the homie, and yeah, it was kind of out of line. I was just like, all right. But I guess they spoke and they kind of squashed it.
Yeah.
So, you know, people be intimidated. I don't get it. Yeah. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, I guess.
Hey, who's like the Jersey elder statesman in the comedy scene? I keep thinking it's that dude who used to say hamburger all the time. But who?
Yeah, is hamburger still around?
Wasn't there?
Alonzo Jones.
Yes. Yes.
I remember he's from Elizabeth or something like that.
But, yes, he's still from Elizabeth. But if I had to say one, I would say Talent. And I know Talent not even from Jersey, but like, he still runs his shows in Jersey.
Yeah.
And dude's a beast.
I forgot Talent's from Jersey. Just, yeah, I've talked to him a couple of times. It's just like, he's all, yeah. He's
amazing.
All, I've always found him. I just always loved the way he would just have a beer in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
And the mic. And then like, he would need to make a point. He put the beer and the mic in the same hand.
It's such a vibe, man. It's like, he's so masterful the way he does it. Drinking and joking. Yeah. Man's a talent. Should be rewarded with more.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. But yeah, that's who I would say is the Jersey's elder statesman for the comedy scene.
I also forgot he DJs.
Oh yeah.
He's a DJ. Like, I saw he was DJing on Instagram. And just like as with men, so many people during the quarantine and everything, I just typed in just like, you DJ? Yeah, DJ, man, do your research. And just, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, so but yeah, also, do you seem to get this whole thing now of especially with with the whole Chris Rock thing and with Chappelle and everything, that like people are starting to get this whole thing about like maybe comedians are kind of like a an invalid thing now?
Nah, well, anybody that's saying comics are an invalid thing are looking at, in my opinion, are looking at older comics and not looking at the new generation and these new voices that are out there.
Yeah.
Because anyone that's saying that, like, all these comics are just offensive, I'm like, are you even looking? Because there's so many comics that hate on other comics for doing material that is conscience of who's in, or conscience of who's in the crowd.
Yeah.
That's not saying these things that you might find offensive. That's actually has a viewpoint that you have and is talking shit about comics that you hate. And you're missing it because you're so focused on hating on these comics.
It then yeah, that goes back to when I was doing the all weekly stuff, because I remember I used to listen to Mark Maron's podcast, and this was back
Yeah.
in the early days when all he could afford to get on his show were other comics, and that's how I got connected to so many comics that are out there. And it's almost and just and as you're saying, just like people don't look for anything. It's like whether it's comedians, movies, TV, like everybody's all algorithmed up in their little bubble, and just like the shit they like and the shit they don't like, that's all they know. They don't know anything else.
The worst thing is that Comedy Central doesn't play stand up like they used to anymore. You got to go on their internet to see
Yeah.
what Comedy Central has to offer stand up wise. Because if you go to the channel, you're only going to see comics again that you grew up with, and you're not going to hear these new voices. You're not going to see these new talents. You're just going to be where's the comics? And there's so many places that you can find these comics too. I'm thankful for YouTube right now, and I'm happy that YouTube is a thing because now comics have taken the power themselves and financing their own specials, which is I think is a great thing. Is it going to get saturated? Probably, but like everything, the best comics will rise and shine. So,
Yeah.
Like the Ari Shafir, is that his name? He
yeah, Archie.
has it. I found that YouTube joint. It was somehow looking up the George Lopez stuff led me to Carlos Mencia, and then
Yep.
he was telling some story about Ari Shafir beating up homeboy from Mad TV. But
Yep.
anyway, that YouTube rabbit hole led me to his special, and I was like, oh, okay, this guy's all right. I
Yeah.
had never really known about him.
If I had to recommend a special that people might not know is out there, but is amazing, it's not on any major networks, it's only on YouTube and it's financed by him. It's not on Netflix, none of that. It's Ali Sadiq's special on
Oh,
YouTube.
he's one of our Houston's own.
Yep.
He can, yeah, because I remember, like, I saw the yeah, so I interviewed him a few years ago, and after he did the Comedy Central jail special. And by the way, I can't believe Comedy Central is now MTV, but with comedians, much like how MTV don't play music videos anymore. Comedy Central don't have actual comedians and shit.
Yep.
But yeah, and then he also started doing some online, some Instagram, Zoom stuff, and we talked about that. So he's been working his way into getting himself out there. So
It's amazing what the internet has taken and given the comedy industry. Some people feel lost because they're like, well, if I'm not trying to be on Comedy Central, what am I trying to do? And it's like, dude, reinvent yourself. Figure out, like, learn how to be a businessman yourself. Stop waiting for somebody to come get you. Like, that do-it-yourself era is real.
Yeah.
Get it, just do it yourself. It got me into gear. Like my first album, I went through a label, and this next time I'm doing it all independent. I've been listening to Jay-Z and fucking 2 Chainz. It's crazy how many rappers actually give you sound business advice if you listen to all the
People always saying like Jay-Z lost his luster. No, he's just very business-minded and he's
Yeah.
trying to impart that. That's why I'm glad that there are those podcasts that like give a lot of old head rappers
Yeah.
a forum to just talk about all the shit they've been through in the music industry.
Yeah.
So it's just like, so you can have all that information handy. And I know you said talk about being independent as a comedian, and I know he's out, he's practically nobody really wants to talk about him anymore, but he was the guy that kind of started all the he kind of brought all that shit out in the forefront last decade, which is Louis C.K., because he started dropping shit on his website and just telling people, hey, I got this special or whatever out. You can pay this money. And then Jim Gaffigan started doing it, and Z's so sorry to start doing it, and just and other comedians that got into trouble for Me Too. But that's a whole other thing. But it's just like, but yeah, so it's kind of like it kind of all went sorry. And he's doing it again. He's still
Yeah.
he's got he just like went to this whole rags to riches, rags thing or whatever you want to call it, where he's going back to what he did a decade ago, which is like appealing to his fans and just playing theaters again because of that.
I used to actually work for Louis' show. Louis. I was a PA on that show, and it's amazing what you can learn from like just other comedians just by being a fly in the room. Like I tell people all the time, if you just shut up and listen, you can make $1 million, yo. Just sit around and listen to what everybody's saying. Not everything is going to be great, but like sometimes there'll be a little bits and pieces of jewels in there that you could take a long way with you. And what I learned from Louis is like him and Kevin Hart would really help push them over the top. Not only was it their talent, but just simply having an email list.
Oh yeah, I've heard Kevin talk about this, that he every time he performed, he just like rack up email and have
Email.
newsletters.
And that's all like Louis was doing too. Just collecting emails and doing email blasts. Hey, I'm doing this. And like, sure, some people are just gonna be like, all right, I'm not gonna watch this. But next thing you know, you got like 10 people that's like, all right, yeah, I'm down for this.
Yeah.
So you gotta tell us your email now.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm gonna tell people to start sending me their emails. So
Yeah.
that's right. Hit me up on Instagram at Baker Bone and send me an email. I can add you to my email list, or you can go to my website. That's right, I got a website, BakerBone.com, BakerBone.com, and you can see all my show dates and all that stuff. Damn.
I try to see. I went through your Twitter to see if there's anything we could talk about, and just basically you retweeting football related tweets.
Oh, bro, I'm a football fanatic. Like the older I get, the more I appreciate my days of playing football, and I kind of want to be the Sam Rothstein of fantasy football. That's my life. If anyone gets that Sam Rothstein reference, you're a
The
friend of
name
mine.
is familiar. I'm trying to place it. It's worth seeing. I'm guessing I'm gonna have to Google it, but just like, oh man. But
Is it from the Godfather?
Casino. Man, I always
yeah.
get them
That's
messed up. Yeah.
De Niro's character. Is it? Yeah,
Yep.
his name. Saying you the
Making good calls. That's all he did. He was good at making calls, bad at love.
So who's your team growing up?
My t favorite team growing up was still is the Indianapolis Colts.
That's
And
interesting. Okay.
The reason is I live in Jersey, and if you live in Jersey and you're black and you grew up around white Jet fans, you're gonna hate the Jets. the Giants were cool, but they never felt like the right team for me. And then one day, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison came through and stomped the mud hole and broke everybody every Jet fan's in New Jersey's heart, and I was like, that's my squad.
But you probably know a lot of Cowboys fans, though, I assume.
Oh, so many. Jersey's filled with Cowboys fans. Like, it's such a weird state that if you go South Jersey, it's nothing but Philly Eagle fans. North Jersey, Jets, Giants, and Cowboys. I'm like, how did y'all get here? And then there's like a small pocket of Pittsburgh fans here too.
Yeah. But that's a, like over here in Texas and it's in Houston, just the sheer hatred for the Cowboys is just that I don't know if it's the hate for the Cowboys or the Cowboys fans. I don't know if it's one or the other because it's
I
just
was fans.
yeah.
Because if they're anything like the ones up here in Jersey, annoying. But you know,
And why are they annoying? Why are they? Because like they, I don't. Yeah, because I keep on seeing that clip of Shannon Sharp just basically telling Skip Bayless, like, what the fuck have they won in years? Like you can list off so many different teams who's won the Super Bowl, who's played in the Super Bowl, who've gone close to the Super Bowl, and just still like. Everybody still like the Cowboys, still America's team.
It's that Jimmy Johnson curse, bro. He should just apologize to Jimmy Johnson and say, Jimmy, you know football better than me. What I think if Jerry Jones ever said that to Jim Johnson, the Cowboys would start winning again.
Really, does it take just that? Because,
Yeah.
damn.
Finally, something they're not good, and then you proceed to lose for decades after.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Foolish. Oh, man.
Ah, dude. Well, I guess we come to the I'm trying to see if we should make this a recurring segment or not, but I'll just come out and I ask you. Gordon Baker Bone,
What's
do you
up?
wash your ass?
How do y'all wash my ass, bro? Wash my ass. Goddamn. What? Who don't wash their ass?
Oh, you got to go on TikTok. It's just like there's several, there's many a video of like girlfriends calling out their boyfriends. Just ask them straight out, "Hey, you wash your ass?" And they'll say shit like, "Oh, I just let the water go down there and just like you don't go in the cheeks, you don't loofah it up, you don't scrub to make sure there's nothing." You don't leave tracks all up in your drawers and shit. Just
See,
like,
this is why it's important for, I think every man should live with a woman that he's not sleeping with or is not related to him, because the embarrassment that you would get if you were a nasty person like that, it would be it's unfathomable. I lived with a lot of my homies who are women, and they just schooled me on so much shit. And I think every man should just spend 6 months living with women that he's not romantically involved with, not fucking, and is not related to, just so they can get their shit together. Start them young at 19.
exactly. Yeah, like I said last week, my mother made sure that got all up in my ass crack to make sure I scrubbed and clean.
Here's another important part. Like, his ass is important. Do you wash your legs and feet?
Oh, well, yeah, that's the next question. Do you wash your legs and feet?
Fuck yeah, I do. I got special soap. I go to fucking Lush and get special soaps to scrub my body. I am
Oh
so
damn, Lush, fancy as hell. I just go to walk to CVS. I don't go to Walgreens. Apparently, Walgreens is fucked up now. But CVS and just get whatever body wash I can get somebody to unlock.
If you ever want to get all that dead skin off your body, because loofahs are good for it, you got to get one of them like real good brushes,
Yeah.
or you could do my cheat code and just go to Lush. There's a soap called Sandstone, and it's got nice minerals in it and little pieces of sand that scrubs your skin so well, gets all the dead skin off, clean your feet up. Bro, feel amazing.
Yeah.
And it smelled great afterwards too.
Oh, but you can't share that though.
Oh, yeah. You can't share that soap. Nah.
Yeah, nah.
That soap is for you and you alone.
Personalized, yeah. Can't
Yo,
really be communal like that.
that's what my homies put me up on. Like, my homies put me up on Lush, proper skincare routines. I got witch hazel in my crib, nigga. It is so dope. You ever, like, this is another thing too. If you're a single man, you entertaining guests, you gotta have makeup wipes in your bathroom. You gotta have tampons in your bathroom. So just in case you got guests come over, they like, it's been a long night. Nobody wanna sleep with makeup on their face, nigga. Just like, yeah, clean that off. Have tampons just in case somebody have like something going on, natural effect. Man, just have your crib comfortable for people. And to
Yeah,
be real.
I have like I just realized that like the that there are wipes out there that are marketed towards men, and it's like manly wipes or macho wipes, whatever the fuck, because apparently you can't get a grown ass man to just buy wipes unless it has like man shit on it.
It's so weird. You got to
Yeah.
put a bear on a packaging for a man to be like, all right, I'll get it now.
Yeah, I'm gonna get really personal now because I've talked about this before in some other things. I've often buy Preparation H wipes because just to not only just to just make sure my ass is both clean and
And
properly
not raw. Got you, man.
sterilized. Yeah, it's
I
medic, to make sure, especially just in case I like have some spicy shit, just like
Oh yeah,
very cool.
you're in Texas. There's a lot of spicy food down there. I
Yeah.
understand you,
Yeah.
bruh. But yeah, if any young man, young woman, listen to this. Tell your friends, get their hygiene game up. Ask them what lotion they use. Oh my God.
Oh,
I still
dude.
like this witch hazel thing. The witch hazel is for makeup, right?
No. You just clean your pores and whatnot.
But witch hazel. I haven't seen that since my grandmother's days.
Yeah. Hey, man. That's what you got. See? Keep women around. You need more women around just to tell you when you're fucking up.
I just got up on that raw cocoa butter. I was sleeping on that.
Bruh, there's so much shit that, like, ugh. Just ask your coworkers, hey, what you using? What's your skincare routine? I think every man should do that. Just ask
Really? Wait,
your coworkers.
but let me test this out. Hey, Camilo, what do you use to wash your ass?
The homie said in the last one, man, Dr. Bronner's. Doctor,
Dr. Brown,
that peppermint.
I mean, you get all up in the cheeks and all that shit with it, just, I mean, what do you use? Like,
Man, we talked about this last week, man.
no, we did
I ain't
not.
gonna
I asked you, and you were just
hit this
like, oh,
topic
that's
every
personal and shit. So, yeah, because there's a
yeah, I mean,
lot
I
of
don't
things you're
talk
going to
about.
delve into, but just.
I think my answer when I listened back to it, that my answer to that was only from going to an important meeting, but then I listened to it again. I was like, nah, it makes me sound nasty. So
Yeah,
nah,
it does, because, like, you
I
really.
do frequently.
Yeah,
Although I
because.
will tell you one thing though. I'll be straight up. Washing, and this might be controversial, but taking a shower every damn day is not good for your skin. But I
Thank
do
you.
wash on a regular basis. But
You
I
got
will
to.
just tell you that much. Every
Well,
damn day in the shower ain't good for you.
yeah. Well,
Yeah,
like, I used
washing
to
with
work.
natural oils.
Yeah, because like, I mean, I thought there was a time like when I would wash every other day, especially if I was just in the house, just washing every that was just me being, just nasty. But it turns out that a lot of people don't even do that shit. And when they do get to the shower, as we've all discussed, they don't get to the ass, they don't get to the legs, they don't get to the feet, and it's just like, so apparently just even if you do it every other day, is it's still better than whatever the fuck, the other people are doing.
You know, it's a fun question you should start asking guests. Ask them what's the longest they went without taking a shower during lockdown.
Oh, God. Oh, you can just guess the mustiness. Just okay.
Like, I ain't going nowhere. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll just.
Yeah, personal
Why do I
hygiene
need
is
to change
different
my
when you
underwear and shit? Why do I
work
have
from home.
All right, y'all.
let me just soak in this.
Funk,
But
that funk.
yeah. But I guess that's gonna be the best way to close these things out now by just seeing if I can ask. Like I think the next couple of guests are gonna be white, so that'll be fun to ask, see if they wanna delve into that. But Mr. Baker Bone, I enjoy your work. I enjoy
Thank you.
everything you do. Just if you want to let people know what the hell is going on with you in the near future or stuff like that. You say you work on an album and just.
Yeah, I'm working on my next album. It should be coming out before the end of this year. I also have a website, like I said before, bakerbone.com. You can check that out for all my upcoming show dates and where I'm going to be. End of the month, I'm gonna be up in Boston, and then from Boston, I'm going out to Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. I'm coming out there for a little bit, and then I'm back in the city. So check out my show for that. And also, if you haven't heard, in June, we will be doing another Drunk Black History, and you could take a guess when it will be. So keep an eye out for that. Me and my homie Brandon Collins do Drunk Black History, where we teach basically critical race theory while everyone's drunk, and apparently more white people are able to ingest critical race theory if you allow some drinks. Who knew? They hate it when they're sober, but they love it when they're drunk. So check out Drunk Black History. It's an amazing show. And yeah, that's about it from me, yo. Thank you so much for supporting.
Well, I appreciate you coming and checking things out. And once again, people should really listen to your first album, even though Nobody But Me has a lot, Nobody Just Me, just it's to have a lot of lovely anecdotes.
Thank you.
That time you was high for 2 weeks and you didn't know it, and just you go into it in great detail on that album. So check it out on any on all the streaming platforms and whatnot. So yeah, Camilo.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so
I'll see you. Good meeting another brother from Jersey.
yeah,
Nice meeting
let's keep
you,
this
bro.
Jersey train rolling.
All right, y'all.
Yes.
Out, y'all. Have a good one.
You too. Hi, Z-Man.